Blog Talk Radio.
Another Sports Tonight, proud member of the Fighting Words Radio Network. A lot of things to talk about. Oh, boy. Got a good show for you. Going to have Roger on from Atlanta. Hopefully have a former Eagle head coach, Eddie Kayat. Don Henderson, the Philadelphia sports legend, will be coming on.
I'm there.
This. Sure. Don,
I'm
good
there.
Evening. How you doing, Don?
All right, man. How you doing? Everything is copacetic up here.
Well, the thing is, down here, the Rays clinched it last night, and it was such a great being in the clubhouse, and the night before, David Price and Longoria went after the fans in Tampa Bay right now. So you probably
right,
heard
I saw that.
Before.
I wondered how many they had last night after the 16,000. They were really extremely disappointed the night before when they had the first opportunity to clinch a playoff spot, and there were only 16,000. What did they wind up with last night?
It was close to 17,000 last night. It's not tonight's the giveaway. Giving away 20,000 tickets for the last home game of the season up there and that. So, I mean, I give the fans credit for showing up on the clinching night up there and 17,000 on a Tuesday night. It's a good crowd. And what these players said, they should never be said that because they're getting paid in the millions of dollars. And the Rays manager had to respond by giving these 20,000 free seats for the game tonight.
Huh. Well,
unreal.
I got to disagree a little bit, Tommy. I think when you have a chance to clinch a playoff spot. Baltimore's been playing quite well, ever since the change of managers. And I would have thought that they would have had a little bit better support of that on a night that they would be there to celebrate clinching a playoff position.
Yeah, I have to agree with you too, Don. But, because an offense for the Rays, I mean, these guys really mouthed off. And, Scotty Casper did in 2008. And, when you draw 1.8 million people in this tough economy, especially in the Tampa Bay market, that's saying something right now, over 20,000 per game. I mean, you got to give the fans credit for going out to the ballpark. They had a big crowds over the weekend. They had over 25,000 for the concert, 25,000 for Family Fun Day. And, with everything going on with the football coming on, when you draw 20,000 on us, over 20,000 on a Sunday, Don, I think it's great.
Well, at the same time, Tommy, it's the owner himself who, came on a couple of months ago and had that little
right.
press get-together and said, hey, we have to have at least 23,000 people per game, average of 23,000
right.
people per game, to make this a realistic ball club in the city of, the Tampa area. You can't really say St. Petersburg or whatever. It's a Tampa area team. And,
right.
As you just said, 21 or 22 isn't anywhere close to the 23 that he said he had to have.
Exactly.
Pardon me?
Those numbers also, don't forget, those numbers aren't people in the seats. Those numbers are including season ticket holders, plus they're counting up the people in the boxes are supposed to hold, too. So that's
right.
not actual money that from those seats, and honestly, and this isn't. Of course, this is not a singular thing. This is a league wide problem.
Right.
Having with attendance on football, hockey, everything. I mean, everyone's going through it. It's a bad economy, and I really think at some point you're going to see some of these teams go away. Maybe not this season, next season, but this economy, they're the ones that are going to take the hit a lot longer than sporting events. Are going to take a hit a lot longer than it's going to take the country to come back, because the country is you know, we're still in a very deep recession, at least a recession right now, and people just don't have the money to go out and spend, you know, $10-$15 for a ticket. And even when it starts rebounding, I don't think they're going to go back to it anyway, because it's, you know, they need bills. You know, we're in a big hole as far as our bills and mortgages, and people are going to be spending it on that, trying to save themselves rather than go to some of these ballparks. And I think some of these teams are going to be in a little trouble.
Well, you make a key point when you say, and I was always one that believed a little bit like Tommy. I think that, you know, to pad the house is not necessarily a bad thing in the sense of trying to generate some support. I don't know how many, as you said, they're going to give away 20,000 seats. Now, when people look in the paper tomorrow or the next day, you know, they're going to see maybe 35,000 tickets were distributed, but you know, how many tickets were actually sold?
Right.
That's the main thing. What they're saying down there, if you purchase tickets for this game, they would give you a better seat for this game tonight, which is a great part for the race management. But Don and Bob, did you see what happened? A picture of the St. Pete Times, the TBT, the old Daily News down here, had a picture of a Steelers fan. So let's here we go, Steelers, in an empty rate in a supposedly 57,000 seat Ray J Stadium for last Sunday's Buccaneer game up there down where they played the Steelers. So you know, tickets right now or for football and baseball, really, you know, it's really the tough economy right now for everybody.
I could not agree with you more. I you know, we've been talking about it for a long period of time.
Oh, definitely.
And but unfortunately, these clubs are continuing to give out, you know, these maximum high salaries, as Bobby just said.
Right.
And pretty soon somebody's got to pull back a little bit and say, hey, wait a minute, we can't give $70 and $80 million, you know, on 3- and 4-year contracts.
But, Don, the big thing down here, they're blaming the Northeast for Philadelphia fans and New York fans and the Northeast fans for going to the ballpark on a Monday and Tuesday night. But baseball's been in Philadelphia, New York, over 100 years up there. And this is a transit area down here. And once again, the talk shows down here are really complaining. They're saying, they're cutting down the Philadelphia fan. And I got kind of offensive to that last night at the press box. Some guy went to sit next to me, so this seat was taken. So and he said on his show, and I was very offensive for it, because, I mean, people are always ragging Philadelphia fans. But those fans, they sit through anything for their Eagles and their Flyers and the Phillies and 76ers up there.
That's right. I mean, look at the last time there was a seat vacant at Citizens Bank Park. I mean, you're talking
about the time we went down.
You know, you're talking about consecutive sellouts. And the only reason you're not having consecutive sellouts at Yankee Stadium now, like you have for the last 4 or 5 years, is because of the astronomical prices that they're charging for the – you know, the ring around between first base and third base. I mean, you know, how many people can afford, corporations or what, to pay $2,500 a ticket? I mean, you know, you're not going to sell those tickets. But other than that, you know, they're still averaging 46, 43, 48,
right,
49. And, you know, so it's hard for, I will say this, it's hard for the broadcasters, it's hard for the telecasters, and it's hard for the media to come from Philly, from New York, from Boston, and go down and see a team that's playing better than their team, and they're selling out game after game after game, and they walk in and there's 16,000 people there. They can't believe it.
Yep. Oh, it is so shocking.
We have Roger on the line with us.
Roger, good evening. We're talking to Roger and Don on the other line.
Yeah. Tom and Don, I've been listening to the conversation about the Rays, and it really is sad, and I was listening to it on some national shows today, and even on TV. And Tom, I have to ask you this, and Don too.
Yes,
would it make a difference if that ballpark was in Tampa?
That's a great question. I'll handle this one because I think at the time in 1985, Roger and Don, everybody, they wanted this. They want the Giants said they're coming. Okay, White Sox said they're coming. okay, that's failed. Then the Indians said they're coming, that's failed. The reason they built that, they built it too soon because they want to attract the teams for their, like Chicago and Chicago and I think in Cleveland, attracting the teams down there. And in essence, they went off the building block for the Indians built at Jacobs Field back to New Comiskey Park. And the thing about that, I think if they should have built it downtown Tampa, that's where your business are. It's where your business people are. It's something to do after the game. The channel side, that's successful. How the St. Pete Times Forum is with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Storm. After the game, the things to do. What are you going to do at Tropicana Field? You want to get out of there. It's in a bad neighborhood down there.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that it's, you know, you're closer. If you were outside of Tampa, you've got a chance to draw the people from the Orlando side.
Yes, yes.
And all that. Whereas to get from the Orlando side all the way over to St. Petersburg,
I mean,
it's a major trip. So, and you're talking, let's be honest now, we're talking with, during the course of the major part of the season, you're dealing with an older fan. You know, he's not mm-hmm. going to drive. You're not going to get somebody 65, 68, 70 years old to drive and then park and go through all that hassle to watch a game and pay the prices. You're just not going to get it. It's not like, you know, you have a multitude of 20s, 30s, and 40s that don't
right.
mind doing that. You don't have that down there in the season.
That's a great point. And also, Don, the people don't have the money. I mean,
right.
especially, you know, you
They're
and
retired.
I are retired. Yeah, and look at what we the hit that we've taken the last 2 years. Like, I'm in an organization and just told my wife, you know, I found out what my last bill is. I'm out. And I've been in
wow.
it for a number of years because you just,
wow.
you've got to start cutting back on organizations. And I will tell you that up here in the Atlanta area, of course, the Falcons play at the Dome. And Turner Field is a beautiful facility, but it was very poor planning because we all remember Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Yes.
And Turner Field is right across the street. That's where they had the Olympic Stadium, you know, and then they converted it to Turner Field. But there's no direct public transportation. At least
oh
with the Dome, you have MARTA.
Right.
But now the problem with the Dome is that almost all the parking is in a garage, you know, a multi-level parkateria. Well, I never even thought about this, but once a group of my friends went to a seminar, and Rich McKay, who I know you fellows know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you know, Rich McKay made the statement that the reason that they need a new stadium, well, the Dome has some issues, but forgetting that, the reason they need a new stadium is that tailgating is such a big part of the football experience.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you can't do it at the Dome. And, you know, that I know there's going to be a new stadium. I predicted that they'll have a new one within five years. They'll have a
wow.
new stadium.
I'll tell you, Roger, you're in a much better position in the Atlanta area because I have to be honest with you. I don't think that the state of Florida or any of the counties surrounding, whether it's St. Petersburg or whether it's Tampa, or what, I don't think they have the money. They can't. Other places can project, as you're doing in Atlanta, and saying, okay, we're going to come up with a new facility that will allow tailgating and have great parking and all. They can't do that in Tampa. There just isn't the money available. Do you think, Tommy?
I think you're right, Don, about that, because back then when the city of Tampa built the Ray J, and then they built the St. Pete Times Forum, that was all their money allotment for originally they were going to have a stadium site for baseball and football and arena on right by where Raymond James Stadium sits right there. So then the mayor said, we got to keep the Bucks here in Tampa. So they built the Ray J, and then they built the St. Pete Times Forum on city money, too, to make improvements for the hockey team and for the Tampa Bay Storm. So I don't think Hillsborough County has any money. Like we always said before, why can't the Seminole Indians step up and build a stadium on their own property? It'd be an ideal spot for everybody from downtown Tampa. They'd have the hotel rights, they have the gambling rights right there, and they're making billions and billions of dollars off gambling for the residents of Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting. When they built the University of Phoenix Stadium, you know, out in Glendale, Arizona, what they did was, to get the original financing, they put a tax on tourism. And they set up an authority, and it's worked out very well. Now, excuse me, the three of us used to always make fun of Bill Bidwell and the Cardinals because they were like a laughingstock, you know, that team over the years, Chicago Cardinals, St. Louis.
And nobody was cheaper than he was.
That's right. You're exactly right. But I'll tell you, my friend Steve Ryan is vice president of business development with the Cardinals. He used to be with the Eagles, a Philly guy, played football for Spurrier at Duke. So he was telling me that now his portfolio has increased because the Cardinals took over the concessions in the stadium. And so he's responsible now for the vendor, you know, everybody there. I mean, his people, you know, his department. But what they've done, and I think this is really a very important point, they have lowered the price of the concessions to the to the fan, because now they control it. They feel they have better people, better quality, the cleanliness, everything. But and you know, so I think that that'll be the teams that don't have that that authority. I think that's one of the next steps to generate revenue.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, and Roger, you probably know, you probably talked to Dan Baker today. Philadelphia sports writers had their, you know, usually monthly meeting last night, and put together a package that they're going to have to raise the ticket prices for. You know, what last year you were involved with, they have 800 people at the sports banquet in January last year, right?
Right, 800, and they were charged, well, I think, what are they raising it to, $95,
they're raising it to,
right?
They're raising it to $95.
Wow.
$95 a ticket. And the Pennsylvania Hall of Fame, they're raising their ticket prices to 100, and but they're only having a buffet rather than a dinner, and so there was a little, you know, discussion about how much should they raise it? Should it be over 100? Should it be under 100? Keep it at 95, but they also at the same time decided that they were not going to raise the dues for the Philadelphia sports writers themselves. Over that $25 limit, they weren't going to turn it up to $35 or $40. And again, every place you go, just as you just said, Roger, one of the organizations that you've been a part of for a long time, you can't afford to do it anymore.
Nope.
That's exactly what's happening with all of these events that are being cut back a little bit. They were saying, well, maybe we could do better only having 650 people at the sports banquet in January as opposed to 800. But have charged $95 instead of, you know, the previous price, and try to break even.
Well, you know, Don, you hit a point earlier about the age of people, and you've been there up at Edison, okay? You know, for the New Jersey sports writers,
right?
They always pack it, and George O'Gorman, you know, our good friend from the Trentonian, I was there with him many times. George, they always have it at noon. Okay, or 1 o'clock early afternoon. Well, that way you get people that are older that are not afraid to drive at night because it's in the same period, like January, that will come out, and that's the whole key. But I think that you're very penny conscious and pound foolish if you're going to say, well, we'll get 600, but we'll get more money by raising it. You know, that's just like when you're increasing taxes, okay, but then guys don't hire people in their business, so you're not getting anywhere near what you had projected in the tax revenue.
Right. Well, they're certainly hopeful of getting the same, you know, 800 plus, whether they will or not because of the economy right now. I don't know, but I think Tommy's probably finding the same thing with organizations, and I'll be back down in a week and a half. It'll be interesting. I talked to my good friend, Joe Patrick, that has Patrick's in right on 5 points there in Sarasota.
Great restaurant,
yeah. He and I have been great friends, and I talked to him last week, and he said, you know, business all along Main Street in Sarasota has been way off during the course of the summer, as you said, people just aren't going out, and they're not spending their money, you know, in restaurants and things. They're pulling back. They may go out one night a week, or they may go out two nights a week, but they're not going out four and five nights a week. They're not doing the things that they did, you know, 5 years ago. They just don't have the excess money to do these things.
Well, there was a college game or two, but I know one they were talking about. I forget which one it was. A major college game over the weekend, and there were 20,000 empty seats.
Wow!
And normally it's packed, and that's one of the points that they were bringing up. That you know, that's another example. I mean, here where you have people in colleges, you know, buying season tickets, but I will tell you that in a lot of teams, and we all know it, the season ticket waiting list has decreased because tickets are available.
It's almost non-existent now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could never think of getting a ticket to a Giant game for the last 25 years. You could never think, unless you were very fortunate. Even the Jets, who have nowhere near the popularity of the major metropolitan New York area that the Giants do, but they were always completely sold out with a waiting list. Now, nowhere near as long as the Giants. You had to wait for somebody to die to get a Giant ticket. But that's not the case now. They're advertising to sell tickets now.
Mm.
Well, you know what else, Don and Tom? Did you notice the NFL has started their own ticket exchange? So that if you have tickets to sell, you don't have to go to StubHub or anybody else. You go right to the NFL, and they control the whole thing.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You know, it's going to be interesting because I have not kept track of how many games have been blacked out so far. I know there have been at least four that have been blacked out. So, you know, that's a perfect indicator right there. And the National Football League is coming to the end of the player agreement, as you well know, Roger and Tommy and Bobby.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going to happen now? Roger Goodell can say anything he wants to about how great everything is. But, you know, in my view, just looking at it from the sidelines, I don't think anything's in good shape. The National Football League has been an institution. But I think right now everybody's being hurt. It's not just the little guys. It's the big guys as well.
Well,
that's
a
great point.
On the blackout situation, I think you're right. I think it was four, but it would have been another one on Sunday, Jacksonville hosting the Eagles, if it wasn't for Michael Vick starting. When they announced that, the ticket sales took off, so they filled the stadium and they eliminated the blackout. I understand they don't have to in Jacksonville have a real total sellout because of the size of the stadium, which was really built for the Georgia-Florida game and the Gator Bowl, you know.
Right.
But that's what I had read, that they didn't black out Jacksonville because the ticket sales took off when Andy announced that Michael Vick was going to be the starting quarterback.
Well, you got the Bucks who are having trouble. They had 36,000 season tickets sold, and they need, 65,000 to fill the stadium,
yes.
62. Oakland's coming, well, they're not even close to selling anything out. So you know that all their games have a great chance of being – all their home games have a great chance of being blacked out unless, you know, they're going to be playing a major team that somebody wants to come see. I'll tell you, it's going to be an unusual 2010 National Football League season. And I'm also interested to see because it should help the television ratings now because I think more people – are going to sit home and watch the games and switch channels, and now you can see three or four games at the same time. You don't have to you're not restricted to just one game, and so I'm really going to be amazed if the TV ratings aren't well up and that the actual seats, the fannies in the seats, are going to be way down.
Well, I'll tell you what, you were talking about the Phillies earlier, and you probably got the blurb, Don, about the Comcast Sportsnet has had the highest viewership in their history with those Phillies games against the Braves.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I say, you know, it's very difficult for you and I who grew up, and Tommy as well, who grew up in Cleveland and then Philadelphia, and you look at the newspaper and you hear, you know, the broadcasters and telecasters go down and talk about how there are only 16,000 people there. I mean, It's almost unbelievable for, you know, we always used to say, well, there's nobody in the stands, but the team doesn't win. Here's a team that's winning. Here's a team that's, you know, going to is a half-game differential at the top of the American League East, the toughest division of baseball, with an outstanding team, and they can only get 16,000 people there, and tonight they're going to clinch a playoff spot. It's unbelievable.
Sickening last night, gentlemen. They clinched it, and here is more. The press box is more people in the press box than the stands up there. And I mean, that was inexcusable because here is the best team. You battled New York Yankees. You battled the Boston Red Sox. You already eliminated the Boston Red Sox to have under 20,000. I mean, I looked at the people out there. I'm like, I looked at like Dick Crippen. I says, Dick, this is terrible. Where's all the people out to see a history making moment? Now you could hear. Everybody said, I was there when the Rays clinched in 2010. Yeah, right. Were you one of the 16,000 people in attendance that day? And they go say, oh, no, I watched it on TV.
Well, I tell you, it's hard for the people that grew up in our locale to when you have a team that's winning, and not only not just winning, but at the top of the pack, and they can't sell 50% of their seats. I mean, that's hard to believe.
Well, you know, it's not a bad ballpark. I've been there several times, and you know, I enjoyed it there. And I mean, you know, and then when you look at what some of the cities, Chicago and Boston, with their old ballparks, you sit there and you're cramped. Your knees are being hit by the guy in front of you, right? And yet they pack it, but. That's why, after hearing so much about it in the last couple of days, I was wondering what your fellow's opinion was about
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that as great as the exhibition season is, spring training in Florida, I'm not convinced. I mean, you turn a Marlins game on, and I mean, you don't see anybody in this stand. I mean, the Mets were just down there, and I mean, it's unbelievable. And I don't care whether they put a new stadium in Miami or what they do, I'm not convinced that baseball is going to go in the Tampa-St. Pete area or in Miami. Maybe a chance over closer to Orlando, I hate to say midway because they tried that with Minneapolis-St. Paul. That didn't work either. They had to get back to Minneapolis. But, you know, to me, I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to sell Major League Baseball with 2 million people a year or better in the state of Florida. Miami's won the World Series twice and they can't draw anybody.
The gentleman we have on the line, Mark Stang, he wrote a book about our Philadelphia Phillies. Mark, good evening.
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
You're talking to Roger and Don Henderson. They both are icons in the city of Philadelphia. Tell everybody about your Phillies book, which I have not put down yet.
Well, I appreciate that. Good evening, gentlemen. Good to be with all of you.
Good to be with you.
Entitled Phillies Photos, 100 Years of Philadelphia Phillies Images. It came out right around the World Series in 2008. It covers the entire 20th century of the Philadelphia Phillies in photographs up through the 2008 season. Players, managers, broadcasters, owners. It's kind of a pictorial history. People like to call them coffee table books. It's 225 black and white photographs, and it'll take you through all the famous and some of the forgotten personalities in the history of the Phillies franchise.
Well, I'll tell you, you had a lot to work with. You had some of the worst teams in the history of baseball and some of the best teams in the history of baseball.
Well, you know, I think, as you guys know, a lot of great franchises have had their ups and their downs. The Phillies are no exception. You had a World Series appearance in 1915, and then they went through a prolonged drought until 1950 again with the Whiz Kids, so you had 35 years of losing, and not just losing, but I mean basement, bottom of the standings, 100 loss season type of losing for, you know, better than 30 years. And then once things got turned around under the Carpenters and Bill Giles, you had Of course, what I would call the glory years, the golden era of Phillies baseball, starting in the mid-70s up through the mid-80s with Schmidt and Luzinski and Carlton and Rose and all those great players, they were a perennial contender for the better part of 10 years there.
I think sometimes that Mr. Carver doesn't get enough credit because he actually bought that team when it was worth virtually nothing. I mean, they were going to have to close down the doors and no longer be a Philadelphia Philly baseball team when the family came in and Mr. Carpenter, I really don't think he gets enough credit in Philadelphia for resurrecting that franchise. And then when Rooley came in to take it over, Bob never actually was too much about running it himself. But when Rooley came in as you just said, they were the glory years of Philly, and Rooley was right there at the helm of most of that with Bill Giles. And I don't think the Carpenter family get as much credit as I think they deserve. What do you think, Roger?
I agree with you 100%. And Mark, you know, you talk about that big gap. When did you start working on the book, and how? What was it that got you really interested in it? I will tell you that it's a great book. And the other thing is, there's so many books now that are out about the Phillies that it's the first team that ever lost 10,000 games.
Well, I know that sports writers and talk radio had a lot of fun with that number. It's not really a fair fight when you're talking about a franchise that goes back to 1876.
No,
they had a bit of a head start on a lot of the other clubs. But you're right. There was a long period of futility there, as I said.
They certainly maximized their opportunities.
I'm not sure their winning percentage was going to be anything to write home about. But, you know, even during the 30s and the pre-war years, it isn't that they didn't have some real talent. I mean, you had players there like Chuck Klein,
Williams
in the late 20s.
Well, that was back at Baker Bowl. That wasn't Shy Park.
Right. But, I mean, there were some great players that came through that franchise. The problem was that, for your younger listeners, in those days, you finished first or you went home. There was no division play. There was no wild card. And in a national league that had perennial powerhouses like Branch Rickey's St. Louis Cardinals of the 30s and 40s, and the Brooklyn Dodgers under Branch Rickey later on with what he did to rebuild that franchise starting in 41. And then the Giants of, the days when they were owned, principally run by McGraw and Stoneham, they were in the thick of things every year. So while the Phillies were never a championship caliber club, there was an awful lot of talent in the National League in those days. And I think that you're right about Mr. Carpenter, because I think people forget that franchise basically had to be taken over by the league when the owner, Mr. Cox, was convicted of gambling charges for essentially betting on baseball. And the league came in and took the club away from him. And luckily they had a savior in the Carpenter family who used their money from the DuPont operation to come in and buy that ball club and put it on solid footing, so that by the late 40s you had the arrival of Robin Roberts and Kurt Simmons and Richie Ashburn and all the players that essentially brought them back to respectability and starting in the early 50s.
Yeah, I think the one, when you go back and talk about, you know, some of the teams that the Phillies did have at Baker Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember now, but it's so long since I talked about that Philly team at Baker Bowl, but I think they were the only team in the National League that had eight players. Now, let's forget the pitcher momentarily. Eight players that all hit over 300, and they didn't win anything. They were at the bottom of the barrel.
Right. There was a year where they had four players all hit more than 30 home runs and all drove in more than 100 RBIs and all batted above 300. Can you imagine an offensive juggernaut like that?
Right.
And the team's ERA of the pitching staff was the highest ERA of the 20th century for any ball club.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you have to remember, too, I can only remember at the very end of it, but Baker Ball was so small. I mean, it was
right.
it was really unrealistic to think that a major league team would play in Baker Ball before they moved over to what then was Shive Park, which they split with the Philadelphia Athletics in those days. But when you played at Baker Bowl, I mean, you could throw a ball out of the – you know, it was like the Dodgers when they moved to the Coliseum and Moon hit those balls, the Moon shots over the left field fence. Yeah, but it was only about 256 feet away. You know, and that's the way Baker Bowl was.
For younger listeners who obviously don't remember that, here's the modern correlation. Everybody knows the big green monster at Fenway, and they know the distance is, you know, 280 feet, whatever it is, down the left field line.
Keeps changing.
Baker Bowl's, yeah, it keeps changing, that's right. Baker Bowl's right field dimensions were 40 feet closer to home plate than the green monster at Fenway.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So if you were a left-handed pole hitter like Chuck Klein, it was just a homer haven.
Wow.
Well, the other thing is they were fighting the A's. I mean, the A's were a big draw. They had been very successful with Connie Mack, you know,
sure.
Won a lot of championships. So, I mean, it was tough competition for two teams, and especially, you know, when they went to the same ballpark.
And the funny thing was, for those folks that are listening that are a little bit younger than Roger and I, you know, the Phillies were the also-ran team in Philadelphia. Nobody – Mr. Mack and the A's were the team. In fact, even when they did come over and decide to split, Byron Sahm, who was the primary baseball announcer in Philadelphia, all those, he went with the A's. He didn't go with the Phillies, you know. And then it turned around that the A's, you know, Mr. Mack couldn't survive, and he sold it to Kansas City and Mr. Finley. But then Byron Sahm came back and went to work for the Phillies. But when he had his choice, to go with which team? The team of Philadelphia were the Philadelphia Athletics, not the Philadelphia Phillies. They were
right. Well, you know what's funny, Don and Tom and Mark, talking about that. I was talking to some young fellows the other day. When I say young, they're in their 20s. Okay, they had no idea that it used to be the Kansas City A's.
Right.
They only know that it's the Oakland A's.
Oh my.
And then I'll tell you how this happened. I bought, which I wear periodically, an old Philadelphia A's cap up at the, you know, the A's Museum, Don, up in Hatboro.
Right.
You know, the Historical Society. And I had bought a cap, and I had it on, and the guy here, you know, figured it's Atlanta. And I said, no, it's the Philadelphia Athletics. He says, what are you talking about, Philadelphia Athletics? I said, the A's started in Philadelphia. They went to Kansas City and then Oakland. He says, you're kidding me. He only knows them as the Oakland A's.
Well, nobody will ever surpass Connie Mack for managing more games than anybody in the history of baseball, because he not only owned the team, but he managed the team until he finally, in his 80s, turned it over to Jimmy Dykes, and he became the manager. But if you look at any of the record books, you're going to see Mr. Mack leads in almost every category.
Oh,
well, I might also mention that you're talking about Mack and the Athletics and the glory days there, where they had essentially two different dynasties at two different periods of time.
Correct.
And then Mack broke both of them up for financial reasons. I've also done a companion book that is identical to the Phillies book on the Athletics, which covers 1901, their first year in the American League, up through 1954, their last season in Philadelphia, before the franchise was shipped west to Kansas City. So for anybody out there who's a Philadelphia history or a Philadelphia baseball fan, I've covered both the American and the National League historically in the city of Philadelphia.
Well,
Mark,
they talk about the days that they were, you know, thinking about trading Ted Williams for Joe DiMaggio and all that. When Jimmy Fox went from the Philadelphia Athletics, he was as big a star as anybody in baseball when he went up to Boston. And you know, Mr. Mack had a – in fact, there are many people that tell you that the 1929 team, 27, 28, 29, as great as the Yankee teams were with Ruth and Gehrig and so forth, And I listened to Jimmy Dykes when he did his radio show for years in Philadelphia, and you had a tough time convincing anybody in Philadelphia that that 29-28 A's team wasn't as good or better than the Yankee team that everybody thinks is one of the greatest of all time.
Wow.
And didn't the A's win it 30?
The A's won the American League pennant three consecutive years, 29, 30, and 31. They went to the World Series and beat the Cubs in 29. They beat the Cardinals in 30. And then they lost to the Cardinals in seven games in 31.
Wow.
So they came within a game of winning three consecutive World Series titles. And, you know, after the war, they went into a period of decline. Mac had to sell off all his better players. Like you were mentioning, he got rid of Lefty Grove, he got rid of Jimmy Fox, he got rid of Jimmy Dykes, he got rid of pretty much all his marquee players because it was the Depression. He didn't have any other source of income other than running the ball club, and when he couldn't pay his bills for travel and the salaries at the end of the year, the only way to make do was to sell off his stars, and as a result, you know, Philadelphia baseball from 1935 until 1950 when the Whiz Kids suddenly popped up. You had two teams playing there and neither one of them was worth a damn.
That's true. That's true. I can remember going to see the Cleveland Indians and the Philadelphia Athletics the first time that Bill Veeck came in with Satchel Paige. Biggest crowd I've ever seen. I don't care whether you count World Series with the Phillies or what. Biggest crowd I ever had ever seen at Connie Mack Stadium. Or Shide Park in those days, was the first night that Satchel Paige and the Indians came in because the Indians were a great team at that particular time. 1954 was their heyday.
Right.
And had four of the greatest pitchers in the history of the game. And, you know, they didn't have any fire laws then. Remember, Roger and Tommy, I mean, there were people standing everywhere. And of course, Mr. Mack insisted on putting that fence up, you know, in the early 40s. Because the people were getting free looks at the ball game in the houses back behind right field, so he put that 40-foot fence up there so they couldn't watch the game. They had to buy a ticket.
and it used to be 75 cents to get in to the bleachers.
Oh, my.
I've sat there many times. Mark, I wanted to ask you about the A's book and also the Phillies book. Is this book available? Because I'll tell you, you've really got my interest on this A's book. I love the history of baseball.
Well, if you happen to be in the Philadelphia area, you can generally find it stocked at any of the local Barnes & Noble bookstores throughout the Philadelphia, New Jersey area. If you're interested, I've done a total of 8 books on Major League Baseball, and I've done 7 teams in this series. I've got my own website, and all the books are available online from my website, which is Mark Stang, S-P-A-N-G, baseballbooks.com, all one word. So if you want to go to markstangbaseballbooks.com, you can check out slideshows of vintage black and white photographs from each of my books. You can check out team trivia, test your knowledge and see how much of an expert you are on each of your favorite ball clubs. And see excerpts from each of the books on the website. For fans in other cities, I've done the Reds, I've done the Cleveland Indians, the Chicago Cubs, the St. Louis Cardinals, the old Washington Senators, the Philadelphia Athletics, and the Philadelphia Phillies, and I'm presently working on the Boston Red Sox, which will be out next fall, which will bring me to 8 clubs, and I'll be halfway through the original 16 franchises.
Damn.
Well, I know that Roger and Tommy are probably closer to a pencil. So, Roger, if you're writing it down, just email me tomorrow.
I will.
And
Mark Stang, that's MarkStrang.
Stang.
Stang, baseballbooks@.com.
Right, there you go.
Okay, are you based in the Philadelphia area?
Actually, I live in Tampa, of all places.
Yes. Exactly.
that's
my connection to Tommy G.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Tommy's got friends all over. Because he told me to say hello to Reggie Roberts, and I did last week over at the complex. And Reggie says, Tommy G, my main man.
Oh. Hey, Mark, I got to ask you about that Cleveland book. Did you do the era in the 70s? They had the Cleveland Stadium, no one in the stands, and all the and the drummer out there. I should have asked you that the other day in the press box.
Well, each of the books covers the entire 20th century in the team's history. As I said, they tend to be more focused on the personalities rather than the ballpark. But, yes, it covers the entire decade of the 70s as well as the rest of the 20th century in Indians history. And
oh
the same
God.
Goes for the other six teams in the series that I mentioned. The books are all reasonably priced. They're $30 a pop. It includes free shipping. And if anybody's looking for a Father's Day gift or a Christmas gift for somebody in your family, if that's their favorite team, they're available on the website.
Oh, my God.
I'll be back down here in 10 days or so, getting in on
right.
the fence. So maybe we'll get a chance to meet Mark and have an opportunity.
We will, definitely.
Go have a lunch or something.
You know, Don, what I'm also thinking is it would be great for Mark to be at the Philadelphia Sports Writers to have
sure.
a table there with his books.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A lot of Rich Westcott's always there, and,
he's written a number of books himself.
He has, yeah.
Yeah, Rich is a very prolific author.
And also, Bill Campbell, his
Ooh.
Book that was there with
right.
Sam Narducci. And,
well, Rich Westcott's
but, I mean,
coming down to Sarasota because his daughter, lives, his daughter or sister, I think it's his daughter lives in Sarasota.
Okay. Well, Rich is now, the president of
right.
of the Sports Writers. And but I'll tell you, Mark, I can't wait to get a hold of that book because I'll tell you what I still have. My dad was a big baseball fan and was a Phillies fan and an A's fan, and I still have the press pin from the 1930 World Series, which
wow.
was the Liberty Bell with the white elephant on it.
That's a great item.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I really cherish. And I even thought I probably will donate it to the Philadelphia A's Historical Society up in Hatboro. Do they have your book up there, Mark?
They do. I've done a book signing at the Historical Society. I've been a member since they were formed back in the early 80s. I've done a number of personal appearances and book signings at Barnes & Noble bookstores throughout the Philadelphia area. First
wow.
when the A's book came out in 2006, and then in 2008 when the Phillies book came out, I must have done 40 events at area bookstores throughout the Philadelphia and New Jersey area. If like I said, that you should be able to get the book from one of the local Barnes & Noble. If they don't have it, they can order it. But if you want it right away, the easiest way to get a copy is to just go to the website. And you'll even get an autographed copy if you order it from the website. And you'll save yourself the shipping charges that you'd have to pay if you order it from one of the bookstores.
Right.
Right. Absolutely. You're going to be getting an order from me, my friend. I'll tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that. I think, as I tell people all the time, if you look at that Phillies book and to a lesser extent the A's book, no matter how old you are or when you grew up and first became enchanted with the national pastime, all your favorite childhood heroes are in that book. If you're our age and you remember Del Ennis and Kurt Simmons and Robin Roberts and Richie Ashburn.
Roger and I aren't anywhere near that old. We're in our 30s. We don't remember anything that far.
Hey, listen, let me tell you, I went to the Robin Roberts show every Saturday at Channel 10, and Jack Whitaker was the co-host. It was either Jack Whitaker or Bill Campbell.
That's
and
right.
And he used to walk out of there with a six-pack of 7-Up, and I'd bring it home every week, and then you'd make money on it because they were returnable bottles.
That's
and I
right.
still have the book. I still have the book that I won as a door prize.
That's right.
There
was never anybody more vilified than Del Ennis in Philadelphia until Mike Schmidt got there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Everybody hated Del Ennis, and all he did was keep hitting, driving in runs, hitting home runs, and took the Phillies to the pennant in 1950, and along with Richie Ashburn and the rest of Dick Sisler and the rest of them. But boy, did he take the heat. Del Ennis, he took it from the day he got there till the day he left.
Hey, listen, Don, so has Donovan, and Donovan returns on Sunday.
That's right.
To Lincoln Financial Field.
Yep.
They're doing surveys on ESPN on whether they're going to boo or whether they're going to cheer.
Well, he said today at a press conference that he thought they were going to cheer for him. And
I think they will.
Yep, he came out this afternoon and he at the press conference and said that he anticipated that that he would get a very strong positive reaction from all the people because he had great years in Philadelphia, led him to a lot of championships.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at that draft when he was drafted, and I was right next to Angelo Cataldi and his crew, and they were banned from the drafts after that. You know, he took that busload of guys. They show them on the highlights now. And I have a picture of those top draft picks that were there with the commissioner, Tagliabue. I keep it with me all the time in my bag to go to the games. Do you know he is the only draftee that is still active in the National Football League from that group?
From that
year?
Wow.
From that draft, top group, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, if you read this, the last couple of days, if you read the history of George Blanda, he was going to retire, you know, when he was originally drafted by the Bears in something like the 13th round or something like that.
Right.
And here's a guy that played more years in the National Football League than anybody in the history of the game. He played until he was 49 years old.
Yeah.
And he played in the NFL. Then, of course, he was very big in Houston in the AFL. Then he came back with the Oakland Raiders and was both a kicker and a quarterback and led them to championships and so forth. So you never know. It's an amazing story with some of the athletes that you never think have a chance to do anything, and they wind up, as George Blanda did, playing for all those years.
Hey, Mark, there's another subject for you to do a book on, George Blanda.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I've got my hands full just trying to cover baseball. I'll leave the NFL to others.
I'll tell you, I think he's one of the great stories in sports. I really do.
Gosh,
I think Gordie Howe would have to be one of the great stories in sports because he played. Now, some of it was just, I don't want to say exhibition because they were regular games. But I can remember when he played with his son in Philadelphia near the end of, he had retired and then he came back and all. But Gordie Howe would have to be a great player of longevity that played for such a long period of time. George Blanda the same way. And there are a few of them, but, boy, not very many.
Okay.
Interesting. Go ahead, Tommy. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, remember George Blanda? He always won the games on the ways. He was the last kicker that went on straight on a football. These sidewinders and that. And I used to love that. Well, George Blanda, the Oakland Raiders, going to win this contest by 3 points. Another Raider miracle.
He won more games in the last 30 seconds than anybody in the history of the game.
Well, they just talked about him. When he was with the Raiders, and they drafted a fellow to be his heir apparent. And he stared the guy down, and the guy never would make a field goal in practice even. And so they cut him, and then he came back. They brought him back like a year later, you know, because George was – they knew it was getting towards the end. And he still was staring him down, but at least then the fellow was starting to get over it. But, it was interesting, that Saints-Falcons game, which was a great game on Sunday. Morton Anderson does the post-game show, and there's another guy that had a long career as a kicker, and he was talking about, you know, when he came out of retirement, they brought him back because they needed a kicker. So it's interesting when you get those kickers.
How about High Tops Turner.
Jim Turner, yeah.
Yeah, he kicked forever. But I'll tell you, Mark, you got great when you're talking about the St. Louis Cardinals. It's one of the greatest franchises. We talk about the Yankees so much because of all the championships, but the St. Louis Cardinals were really the heart and soul of the National League for so many years, and so many great players from the Gasthouse Gang right on up. So you must have had a lot of nice things to work with there.
Well, I'll tell you, each one of the projects is a different sort of challenge. Sometimes it's a matter of a franchise like the Cardinals, where you've got so many championships and so many winning ball clubs that you almost get into a situation where you don't have enough room in the book to include everybody, and
wow.
It becomes an editing decision. Well, you know, I've got six different Stan Musial pictures in the book because there's so much to talk about with his career, but then you've got Bob Gibson and Enos Slaughter and, you know, Kurt Flood and Medwick and Pepper
Tim
Martin.
McCarver. Tell me McCarver.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at the Cardinal franchise, and once you get past 1926, they've got a winning franchise almost every decade except the 1950s.
Right.
So you do a different sort of franchise like the Cubs, where, you know, as anybody will tell you, anybody can have a bad century. They've got, they've got 100 years of history,
right.
Most of it on the losing side, but yet people remember that '84 club with Jim Fry and Dallas Green,
right.
And Leon Bull Durham and Jody Davis and Rick Sutcliffe, and then you go
right.
back to the days of '69 when it all fell apart with Banks and Williams and Santo. And then
mm-hmm.
you go back to the 30s, which were really the glory days of the Cubs franchise, when they won the National League pennant in 32, 35, and 38, and then again in 45. So even though people keep talking about the curse of the Cubs and how they've never won the big one, even teams like that had periods of success, and it's a lot of fun to bring it all back to fans
right.
of a particular franchise. As I like to say, we're selling memories. And we take people on kind of a visual trip down memory lane.
Well, I'll tell you,
right,
I only think of the 1946 World Series, and then not only Andy Slaughter scoring from first base in that really, but Harry the Capper Keene won three games in that World Series. He came in relief in the seventh game and won that one. And, you know, there were so many things that happened in that series. And when you think about the Cardinals, you think about, you know, when they played the Browns in 1945. It was
yeah.
all St. Louis at that time, and then of course Morton Walker Cooper, when their father died, and then the night before, and they pitched and caught in the World Series the next day.
Well,
well
yeah,
saying,
and on the other side, in the other dugout, you had Ted William, arguably one of the greatest pure hitters of all time, and for a guy whose career spanned 1939 to 1960. That was the only World Series he ever appeared in,
correct.
And he had a miserable World Series. He batted below 200 with just a couple of singles, and called that one of the greatest regrets of his entire career, was that the one time he got to appear on the big stage, it didn't happen for him or the Red Sox.
Well,
so
yeah,
there's all these sidebars and storylines that kind of come through when you start piecing together the history of a franchise. And that's true whether it's the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Indians, the Reds, or like we're talking about, the Phillies and the Athletics.
Right.
Mark, I just would suggest to you, if you want to have some fun and do an interview and get some good lines for the book, get in touch with Bob Uecker, okay, now you know, the voice of the Brewers, who used to play in St. Louis for the Cardinals, and ask
Ooh.
Him the story about when he went back for the 100th anniversary celebration of the Cardinals. It is a classic story. It will have you on floor. And I'll tell you what, just put a few lines in the book, and I want to tell you, it'll have everybody to buy some book laughing.
Well, I think the other thing that'll surprise, remember the other day we were talking about the knuckleball pitchers, and,
right.
and he said that the best catcher he ever threw to was Bob Uecker. He's never worried about throwing the knuckleball to him. He
That's
said he was
right.
the best catcher he ever worked with.
Uecker had a great line about the knuckleball. He said, there's nothing to catch in a knuckleball. You just wait till it stops rolling and you pick it up.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right, Mark. That's a great line. Oh, my God.
Uecker tells the story about being drafted because he was from Milwaukee by the Braves. And he said, you know, we got a letter, a telegram explaining that I'd been taken in, you know, whatever round it was by the Braves. And he said, the team got in touch with us, and I got a call, and my dad got on the phone because I still wasn't of legal age to sign a contract. And the gentleman from the Braves explained that they were looking at $5,000. And my father said, well, we don't have that kind of money.
Oh, my. Just like the press box, Mark, the morning fun is frolic on a Wednesday night. We always have up there, Mark. So, hey, anytime,
well,
Mark, you want to – Mark?
Yes, sir.
Hey, anytime you want to come on the show, you time's always yours on a Wednesday night. Boy, I tell you, we're having so much fun tonight.
Well, Tommy, it's my pleasure, and I sure appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk baseball with you guys. You know, being here in Tampa, things are getting interesting here as we head into the postseason next month and next week, as a matter of fact. And at this point, boy, I think it's anybody's guess, but I'm not sure that the world title doesn't go through Citizens Bank Ballpark this year, because I don't think there's another club in the National League that's playing anywhere near the kind of baseball the Phillies are playing right now.
I agree with you. Marcus, I think the team to beat it, I'll tell you, look at that pitching staff they put together now. Those three, the big three, what have they won now? 13 in a row without a loss coming down the home stretch, and their ERA is something like 1.95 or something like that. And so Holliday, Oswald, and Hamels are really they've been almost unbeatable now for the last month of this regular season.
Yeah, I think the American League is probably, if I had to handicap it, I'd say it's wide open. Texas, if they get Josh Hamilton back, can score runs with the best of them. Minnesota's been playing great baseball up until about a week ago. The Rays have kind of been up and down, but they're still probably going to finish with the best record in the league. And then you've got the Yankees, who, although their pitching is kind of shaky after Sabathia and Hughes, in a short series with all that offense, I think anything can happen. But I do think in the National League, I don't think any of the other clubs can hold a candle to the Phillies.
I agree with you 100%. And I think Minnesota would be a much more formidable opponent, but I think the M&M boys are both hurt, and one has a bad knee. Whether they're going to be able to play up to their expectations out there, in Minnesota, I don't know if they can or not. They've got a very solid club and a great manager, pretty good fair pitching staff. But boy, if the two M&M boys can't play at 100%, it's going to be tough.
Wow. That's for sure. I think it's going to be Phillies in the Rays, Marco, right through Tampa like it was in 2008. I don't think we could beat the Rays in a short series.
Well, hey, as long as they don't take 3.5 days to play game six, I'm all for it.
And they get Longoria back. I got to have Longoria playing at 100%. They can't lose him because they don't have that many hitters. They can't lose Longoria. He better be healthy.
That's
well,
right.
I think they're sitting him just as a precaution. He had only missed one game the entire year, Don, if you can imagine, with the grind and playing on AstroTurf like he does.
Right.
So I think they're just sitting him to give him a little rest. I think when the bell rings, he'll be there to answer it. The question is he going to have anybody hitting behind him that's going to matter?
Right.
Carlos Pena has had just a dreadful year at the plate, and even though his power stats are there, he hasn't provided a whole lot of insurance, and I'm afraid that if I'm another club, Longoria is the one guy I'm not going to let beat me. There's just no way I'm going to pitch to him in a key situation, and I think that's the way he's going to be approached by a lot of other clubs.
Well, I think Tommy's right. I think it's a very good shot to be the Tampa Bay Rays and the Phillies. I think they're two of the better clubs in baseball right now, and I just don't think the Yankee pitching staff is going to hold up. They've got a great, maybe the best nine guys to come to the plate, but I'm not so sure that their pitching is going to hold up.
Well, Mariano has certainly shown for the first time that he's human now that he's the other side of 40. And, A.J. Burnett has just been a disaster this year.
Oh.
Pettit may or may not be healthy. It's hard to tell. He's only had two outings, and one of them he got knocked around.
Right.
So I think once you get past the big boy, CeCe, and Hughes, it's questionable what kind of pitching the Yankees have.
Tommy, it's all yours.
I'm going to run and take care, Mark. I will be in touch. Can't wait to get that book.
Thanks, Roger, take care. Good to be with you.
Yeah,
gentlemen,
you
it was a real pleasure. Thank you for your
night.
Time.
We missed you last night.
Hey, anytime, Mark, want to come on the program, it's always yours. And, Roger, we'll get you on next week again, talk some more sports and some great Philadelphia stories.
was a pleasure being with all of you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Take care.
Well, thank you, Mark.
All right.
Thank you. Well, Don, how about that? God, I'm looking at the, you know, I saw Mark all the times up in the Rays press box. I wonder what he did, you know. Then he opened his briefcase. And I said, here, I got some for you. Oh, my God, he's an author of the Phillies book. You know, I was shocked, you know, and my favorite page had to be Richie Allen and the broadcasters of the 60s, which I grew up with, Bill Campbell, Byron Somm, and,
right.
You know, Richie Ashburn, it was great. Then you did the post-game show, it was fantastic, you know, that's what I grew up with, and a great picture of Harry Callis and also Richie Ashburn with the big Philadelphia P on the jacket up there. Boy, I tell you, now I'm going to get that Indians book. Because
well,
I guess see what they say about Herb Score.
He certainly was certainly interesting in all aspects, all the teams that he's covered so far, and there are a lot of great stories about all those teams, and obviously he's put them together in the book, so that's great. But Tommy, before we get off the track here a little bit, how about the Ryder Cup, because that gets started tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I think.
What do you think?
I think USA might pull the upset right now. It all depends what Tiger Woods' framework right now, and I think it's going to be overseas. I don't think nobody suspect the Americans to win, but I'm gonna pull them in a major upset over in the Ryder Cup this year.
Boy, McIlroy has really gone out on a limb. He said that he doesn't understand why Tiger's even on a team, and he hopes he draws him in the first round. He wants to play him. I'll tell you, some of the Europeans. These young lions, the Europeans, are putting on the golf tour. They're not afraid of anybody, and boy, they don't wait till they win something before they start saying, "Well, we'll just take Tiger Woods right to the woodshed. We're not going to worry about it because we're going to beat him to a pulp." we'll see what happens.
Don, we got Butch on the line and Brett Dietz on the line for football picks. And
go to it.
I think Brett won this. I think Brett won this week. Are you shocked or what? What's that?
Are you sure that I won this week?
I think you did.
Wait a minute. I think there might have been some collusion there because he left and he made his picks after nobody was on, so we don't know about this.
Right.
There was. He didn't get all his picks in.
Is this an honest count, Bobby?
That was an honest count.
What?
I'm calling you in, baby.
Brett, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing wonderful.
How'd the game go, Brett?
We won. We're 3-0.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Well, Brett, I played number two at Tampa Bay Golf along with Doug from our office up there and that, and then also another guy, Mark Slater, that you played with. Hit the ball, hit the sign from back tees, dropped it. He hit an iron under the trees, 150 yards, put her 15 feet from the stick and two putted. I did an honor of you from back tees. I even said to Doug, I said, this honor of Mr. Brett Dietz, we're playing back here.
That a baby.
So we
back
get your
where
butt
the real
back,
men play.
Get your butt back down or number two is going to eat you up again. All right, gentlemen, ready for these wonderful football picks now. I don't have
sure.
a cheat sheet in front of me here.
Go
first
to
game
it.
Is Denver at Tennessee.
Brett, we're going to let you start off tonight.
Yes.
I'm going to pick the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
I'm going to take Tennessee.
Okay, Don, Tennessee.
I think I'm going to take Tennessee myself.
I saw Tennessee play the Giants last Sunday, and I want to tell you something. Boy, if there's a better team hitting than Tennessee was last week against the Giants, I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Bob, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with Tennessee also.
Ooh, okay. Okay, I'm going to go with Tennessee too. I think the way they're hitting, they're playing great football. Plus, my sister-in-law is down from Knoxville, so I'm going with her. She's hearing me in the other room right now, so which is good. All right, Denver, Detroit at Green Bay. It's Green Bay, you know, a tough loss for them on Monday night. Of course, Detroit, what can you say about Detroit? They're hoping for the Red Wings to get off their great start. So I'm going with the Green Bay Packers.
I'll go with the Packers, too.
I'm with the Packers also. I don't see how the Packers, the Lions, playing in Green Bay. Green Bay actually should have won the game Monday night, but they didn't win it. But I, I, I like their – I love their quarterback. I'll tell you that.
Oh, definitely.
What a great move they made picking him up. I'm with you. I'm with the Packers.
Yes. Okay, who's next?
I got the Packers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it a clean sweep. I think the Packers, but I got to tell you, I think that in the next few years, with some defensive help, I think that the Lions with Javid Best becomes a pretty decent team. I'm not sure they're gonna be a great team.
I don't disagree, Bobby. I think they've got an up and coming team. I think the only problem is they just haven't learned how to quite win yet. You know, they're gonna be close in a lot of games. I think if you're betting the spread. Even this week, the spread's very high. I don't think they're going to be beaten by 14.5, but I think they will lose.
And I kind of question the toughness of Stafford, whether he's tough enough to kind of be an NFL quarterback with his numerous injuries and stuff. But I think Javid Best is going to be another even better Brian Westbrook.
Wow.
There you go.
Same things right there.
There's
Wow-wee.
A recommendation.
Yes, sir. Okay, ready for this? The Jets at Buffalo. Buffalo's pretty sad. I would go New York Football Jets right there, Sus.
I'm going to go for the Jets, too. I can't understand. It's only a 5-point game, and the Bills have been awful. I would have thought it would have. This is one of those trap games, I think. When you see a 5-point spread, you know, with the Jets, the way they played the last 2 weeks. And the Bills, as poorly as they played, you see only a 5-point spread. That looks like one of those trap games to me, but I got to go with the Jets.
Okay. Anybody? Okay. Who's out?
Jets.
Okay.
Everybody.
Yeah, I'm going with Jets also. You know, it kind of makes me mad that Trent Edwards, of course, was cut by that team after starting the season with them. He was picked up by Jacksonville.
Right.
But, now we have Brett Deese sitting on the sidelines, not playing in the NFL at all. When he's a much better quarterback than Trent Edwards ever was, or ever will be, as a starter. You know, and it just angers me that some of these teams don't take a look. Besides their, just outside of what they really think. You know.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's
and
the last time
I'm looking.
And you better, whatever.
All the people that said
that's
the
last time you hear me.
He wasn't going to be able to come back and play. Look what Vic's done the last couple of weeks.
He's unreal.
A year ago, this time, he's just there as a show. He's not going to do anything.
I know.
And now look at him.
I just wanted to say that's the last time you hear me compliment Brett Deese on the radio. So.
Oh,
I said you did with after he let Manny Pacquiao go. I can't believe that.
I'm very upset
Manny
about
Pacquiao's
that.
On the air again.
There's a mutual disbursement. All right, mutual.
No, I talked to him. It was not mutual. So
yeah, he's got it in for you now.
Oh,
ooh.
Yeah.
I'll just join up with Mayweather, and then he'll go running away like he always does.
Yeah, Mayweather, you're right. Mayweather will go running away like he always does. And then he'll make some racial comments. And
ooh. Oh, my, listen to
no
this.
No comment after that. I'm starting to trash talk at something I know nothing about. So.
I'm with you, Brett. I'm just being quiet.
Hey, Brett, you were absolutely right on your comeback to Frank about the weakness of that comment. That was kind of weak.
Yeah.
You have to understand, we dropped him on his head when he was a kid.
Oh.
Ooh.
Next game, Tommy. Next game.
Seattle at St. Louis. I'm going to go with St. Louis. I told them they beat Washington. I'm going to go with St. Louis for this one right here.
Seattle's got one of the best defenses in the league right now. I don't know how they've awakened from the dead, so I'm going to go to Seattle.
I'm going to go Seattle as well. I've never been a big Pete Carroll fan, but I'll tell you, he's done a pretty good job.
All right, the other gentleman?
You know, I was talking to Butch about this past weekend. I got to give Don a lot of credit because he's been sticking with Seattle the whole season, and Seattle really has improved. They really seem to be a together team, which for a Pete Carroll team, besides of course USC, but Pete Carroll in professional football, I've never seen a team play like this for him, I'm going to go with Seattle also.
Okay.
Yeah,
how about this?
Yeah, I got to go with Seattle also.
Jeez, I'm leaving out in left field right now. My God, what am I going to do?
Well, that's where you belong.
Boom!
I know.
I'll start trash talking.
San Francisco and Atlanta.
Oh, boy.
San Francisco is so up and down. I'm going to go with
the ATL?
Matt Bryant, the former Tampa Bay Buck, Matt Bryant and the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm going to go with Atlanta, too.
San Francisco, they changed their offensive coordinator. I don't think that's going to make any difference. When you're playing as badly as they are right now, I think they're going to have a tough time regrouping. So I'm going to go the other way. I can't pick San Francisco this week.
All right, Bob and Frank, here we go.
San Francisco's been a huge disappointment, and their offensive coordinator lost his job over it this past weekend, and I don't think he was the problem. I think he just got a team that's underachieving right now. So I'm going to go with Atlanta also.
Okay, Frank?
Yeah, even though I just applied for that job, I think I'm going with Atlanta too.
But remember Jimmy Reyes? He used to be the Bucs offensive coordinator. I used to yell at him, "Hey, Jimmy, go to Clearwater Beach and draw up your plays."
Yeah.
So bad he was. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. It's old Browns versus Pittsburgh. I'm going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are a team to be reckoned with this year, gentlemen.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a team you really have to hand to the coaching staff. I mean, they lose their number one quarterback, and they're 3-0. I mean, and not only that, but they've played so well. It's really incredible. They're only a point and a half favorite this week, which, again, this is a in-state rivalry. You know more about that than we do, Tommy, being a Clevelander. But for the Bengals to come over and play the Browns, that's always that's like the Giants playing the Yankees. I mean, that's a big deal.
Exactly.
But I have to agree with you. I gotta go. I can't go with the Browns.
No, I should have said the old Browns. It's Baltimore, but all right, Brett, who do you want? The old Browns or Pittsburgh?
Where's the game at?
It's at Pittsburgh. Okay. All right, Bob and Frank.
I'm gonna go upset special. I'm gonna go Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, you gonna go with it? Oh, wow. Okay.
How
wow,
about that? The Ravens. The Steelers are a 1.5-point favorite. You're with the underdog.
All right. Bob and Frank, so who are they?
I'm going to go. I'm a Flacco guy, so I think it was nice that for the first couple of weeks that the Pittsburgh didn't play any real teams like the Little Sisters of the Poor and the that they played last week and the other two teams that didn't show up until halftime.
Ooh.
So I think Flacco is going to pick them up this week.
All right, Bob.
You know what, Don? You mentioned that they lost their number one. You know, of course, Roethlisberger has been suspended until next week.
One more week.
But they've also lost their number two quarterback in Dennis Dixon, and they're with their number three quarterback Charlie Batchew. I don't think has played since 1977. Started since 1977, it seems. And they're still winning, but I certainly think that. Pittsburgh wins this game.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Next game, gentlemen, Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans lost a tough game, but Carolina is so much in disarray right now.
Right.
New Orleans at home. It's no brainer there.
New Orleans lost a game last week they never should have lost. I mean, that whole
thing
was calling a timeout, kick good, kick no good. I mean, overtime, I mean, that was terrible. I got to go to New Orleans.
Yep.
Is unanimous?
I'm breezing with the group.
Yes, I'm Paul Collins.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next game is Cincinnati at Cleveland. Cleveland's hopeless and helpless. They better hope for the Cavaliers to have a better thing this year. Cincinnati, you never can tell what team's going to show up. I'm going to go with my upset special of the week. Cleveland at home, I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. That's me. A dumb pick on my part. That's my special of the week.
That's the one a minute ago when I was talking about the Steelers and the Ravens playing against each other. What a important game that was between those two teams. Well, the same thing as I mentioned inadvertently when I said the Bengals and the Browns. That's the Giants and Yankees. What I was talking about.
Right.
you know, they love to beat each other. I got to go with the Bengals.
Ooh, okay. All right, Mr. Brett.
He's cooking popcorn.
Is he there?
Bengals first.
I know he's going to pick the Bengals, so that's a no-brainer for Brett.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals, too.
Okay, Frank, Bengals?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals, and we did. I'm going to go with the Bengals. I'm going to try and get Brett back on the air here.
Okay.
Okay, let's do our picks right now. It's going to be Houston at Oakland. Oh, boy, it's going to be – I'm going to go with the Houston Texans for this contest. The way they've been playing Oakland, so another team in disarray right now.
I'll tell you, Houston killed me last week. I thought sure they were going to beat the – as hot as they were playing the Dallas Cowboys at home, I thought sure they were going to win that game, and they sort of fell right on their face. I can't believe that Dallas outplayed them that well. I got to take the Texans again.
I'm definitely Houston game.
Okay, Brett. Okay, Don.
I'm with Texans.
Houston, Texas. Everybody's with Houston then?
Yep.
Okay, cool it all. Indiana, Jacksonville. I mean, this game here, Jacksonville, they sold out the game, thank God, for 20,000-foot offense who traveled down to Jacksonville. I had my high school reunion up there, which I couldn't make it up there enough. But I'm going to go with Peyton Manning and the Colts in this contest. I just can't see Jacksonville at all.
I got to go with the Colts. I can't. As well as Manning's playing right now, I can't go against him.
All right, Brett.
I'm going to go Jacksonville. I'm going with Indy.
All right, Bob and Frank.
The guy from his hometown is going to go against his own team?
Uh-oh, that's shocking.
Yes, I'm going to Indianapolis, too.
All right, Bob.
Brett, you're going with Jacksonville?
That's what he said.
I'm going Colts. Yeah, that's what I thought he said. He said Indianapolis, not
Jacksonville.
Oh,
I thought he said Jacksonville.
I didn't even say Jacksonville, too.
Okay, all right. Okay, we got him. Scratch to the other side.
I think Bob is the one that said Jacksonville, right?
No, I think Jacksonville's horrible.
All right, well, that's an all for
Jacksonville.
That's
an
all for all right,
Jacksonville,
Arizona,
Buffalo, and Carolina are all lousy.
That's right.
How many people are on here?
We got five.
Just
five.
4,000 of us.
Okay. Are you ready for the next game, gentlemen? Arizona at San Diego. Arizona's not impressed. Be San Diego in this one for me.
Well, I got to go with San Diego also. I can't imagine that the Cardinals are going to win that game.
All right, Brett.
I'll go Chargers.
Okay. All right, Bob and Frank.
I'll go Chargers.
This is my upset of the week. I don't think the Chargers are a very good. I shouldn't say not a very good team, but I don't think the Chargers are as good as they kind of think they are. They're supposed to be. I'm going to go with Arizona to win this game. On a close
one. Ooh, how about that?
Ooh, here we go.
I'll tell you one thing, you can't rely on their coach, I'll tell you that.
Right, absolutely right.
I'll tell you, every time it comes to a close decision, he loses.
and they lost that. Didn't win that game the other day. God, I can't remember who they played. But San Diego basically lost that game. The penalties, time after time with the penalties. They just drop that game, you know.
Oh, definitely. All right, for our next game, it's a no-brainer. Probably everybody for the Eagles, except for Brett, probably pick Washington. Who are you picking, Brett, Washington or the Eagles?
I'm going to go with I'm still on the Michael Vick bandwagon.
Oh!
Whoa!
He's picking the Eagles. Oh, my God. So the Eagles are going to lose him probably.
I think Donovan's going to come in and have his ears pinned back by Michael Vick. I have to go with the Eagles, and it was Seattle 27-20 that beat San Diego, Bobby.
Oh,
that's right. I'm sorry. That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
No problem. Everybody off in Philadelphia?
No, this is the lingerie bowl, and I think I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Washington.
Ooh, Frank.
Oh,
I want to see
way,
somebody running around in fishnet stockings and high heels. And, I'm going to take pictures and show it to everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, Tommy, this is the dress back game with Tony Thompson.
Oh, no.
This is the game that we made the bet about, you know, with Tony Thompson.
Yeah.
So, Philadelphia wins this game going away.
Okay.
Michael Vick over 300 yards passing.
Right, we're going to fly up to Washington and take pictures of him running around the world heavyweight champion running around in a fishnet stockings, a dress, and what do you say, stilettos too, right, Bob?
Stilettos, fishnet stockings, and a mini skirt.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure that Bobby and Frank are going to run up to at the lake and see this game in person. Oh, I mean,
oh yeah, we are.
That's what I thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait, but he was never the heavyweight champion. He's a heavyweight
contender. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all set. Chicago at the New York Giants. The Bears have been pressing me for a nice 3-0 start. I'm going to be in the bandwagon with Chicago Bears.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that Tom Coughlin is going to get the Giants back. The way they played last week, just embarrassing. It's going to be hard to come into Giants Stadium and win this game, but I think Lovey may be able to do it. I'm going to go with the Bears after their win Monday night. They beat the Packers. I think they can beat the Giants on the road.
Okay, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears.
The Bears. Bob or Brett?
I'm gonna go with the I think Bears. I'm with Don. I don't think the Giants are that good a team this year, and especially the running game. The running game is lost this year. So Chicago.
Okay.
I think the Bears are the luckiest team in America. I think Jay Cutler is so bad. He just throws the ball up for grabs whenever he feels like it. He's gotten so lucky. He's gotten his three strikes in. He will not be lucky this weekend. Giants roll.
Oh,
Brett, Giants will roll. I'm putting my notes. We'll
Cutler,
roll.
Cutler
did you see the Giants play last week, Brett?
I don't care what happened last week. They're playing Cutler. He's going to throw the ball up, and the Giants DBs are going to go get it.
I've always been a Giant fan, but this team the last 2 weeks has convinced me they're not going anywhere.
Well, it's only week three, remember. They still got the whole season. I don't think any team in the NFL is packing it in for the last 13 games. They have to turn around sometime.
The Browns and the Raiders, I think, have already done it.
Next Wednesday, this will be a big point of conversation. I guarantee you that.
I got my dummy notes in front of me right now. Look out.
Put a big star in front of that game because we'll talk about that one.
Oh, I got it right here. Big dot here. Monday night affair, New England travels down to Miami. You don't know what Miami team's going to show up, but I'm not going to vote for Captain Happy. I'm going to go with Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Well, you like to flip
a coin. Okay.
Gentlemen,
let me find a coin to flip real quick. Patriots.
Oh, you're going with Captain Happy?
Huh?
Okay, Don.
I'm going also with the Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Patriots as well.
Okay, Bob or Frank?
I'm going with Patriots.
Brady was over 300 yards again last week, and what did they score? 35 points. I got to go with the Patriots. Even though it's a one-point game, I got to go with the Patriots. But it is 45 and a half total points, so they expect both teams to score.
Bob, who did you pick? The Patriots, too?
Patriots. Yeah.
Okay, Patriots. Well, my experience with Captain Happy, I just do not like the man. In my interview time in Cleveland, he did not give me a time of day, and we called him Beavis and Belichick and Captain Happy.
That's funny.
I didn't like that. So I think Brett won last week, or Don tied with Brett last week. I have to do the final tallies in that. So, I mean, it's I don't think
Brett won last week. Brett was off after, like, the fourth pick.
Oh, okay.
Tommy, and I gave him all the right picks.
Right?
You're full of crap.
We did not hear any of those picks on the air.
Okay.
Right.
Well, the four that I did
call
make
a bye
were
week.
Right.
Bye-bye Brett week or whatever. Call it a bye week. I don't know.
Hey, but, Bob, you're not the commissioner of this league, all right?
Apparently I am. Tommy told me last week I was, so therefore you don't qualify from last week.
You know, Tommy's commissioner of this league, and he said that me and Don tied, so me and Don tied.
I got no problem with Don winning it, but you only gave like 4 picks, so no, I'm not going along with that. I'm protesting last week.
Court
well,
battle
maybe
now,
my
look out.
Protest. Maybe my 4 picks are right, and you guys didn't pick more than 4 right, you know?
Ooh,
impossible.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
When Tommy gets more than 4 right, you know you're in trouble.
That's right. I mean,
Tommy won the week before.
And he won the week before, so you know. We can't even question him.
Blind squirrel finds an acorn out. Now, I'll probably go in a slump right now. I won't go in a big slump.
You're going on vacation. What do you mean slump?
Well, I probably will go in some picking football picks, you know.
Sure.
This week would be my slump week right now on that. So, oh, my God, it's just been going. Brett, how's the weather been up there for you up there?
It's starting to cool off. It's been getting in the 50s, the low 50s, and then it gets to the 70s during the day. So it's starting to turn pretty early.
Ouch.
Well, it's been beautiful in New Jersey, I'll tell you that. We've had some of the greatest weather you could ever have, although tomorrow is supposed to be a real bad day. But for the most part, we've had – today was like 80 degrees with very little humidity. It's been beautiful this early fall, so I can't say the cold weather's come in yet.
We're still 89 humidity. Air conditioner's going to run and around and around and around. So,
right.
But hopefully the day that when you come down, Don, hopefully we'll turn off the AC.
Okay. Well, I don't know what Tampa Bay is doing. The Yankees are down 3-0 right now in the bottom of the third inning, and you have a better handle on what's happening with Tampa Bay. I looked on the Major League Baseball channel, but I didn't see any score for Tampa Bay yet.
I'll give you a quick update right now. Detroit 3, Cleveland 2, bottom of the fifth. Mets and Milwaukee, bottom of the first. Philadelphia 7-1 in Washington, top of the sixth. Great news here. Bottom of the third, Toronto 3, Yankees nothing. Tampa Bay, Baltimore 0-0. Jeff Niemann going against Kevin Millwood. It's amazing, Don. Kevin Millwood's still pitching a shutout. I think he's playing for an option year for next year for Baltimore. But
unbelievable.
But Don,
he was terrible the first half, but interesting to see because the Yankees, they lose tonight and the Rays can win. Well, it's almost over. I mean, it's pretty much going to be history.
The magic number, they claim it's 5, so the Rays can win. The Yankees lose. It's down to 3 games, and they got to go to Kansas City while the Yankees got to go back to Boston.
Right.
And you know what, Boston, they can't stand Yankees, so, you know, but they're going to win the field. But I got to give Buck Showalter so much credit Monday night for playing his regulars. He says, we have something to prove, Donner. We don't want to have the Rays claim the pennant in front of them. And Nick Markakis had a great cut. He said, well, we're going to play our hearts out for jobs, but for when you're playing for a baseball team, between the lines, you play your best baseball, no matter how good the other team is over there. And Rays fans thought they could clinch it Monday night, but, I mean, the guy pitched for Baltimore 8 innings. He was the American League Rookie of the Month for August, pitcher and that, mattress and that. He was a great pitcher. And last night, you got to give David Price credit. But Don and everybody, who would think should win the Cy Young Award winner in the American League?
Well, there's a big controversy. Well, I should say a big controversy about that. But I just can't, in my own mind, can't think. If you're one game over 500, regardless of what your stats are, and look who you're playing for. Every game doesn't mean what it means for CeCe Sabathia. He's
right.
Won 21 games for a team that has to win. They can't lose. He's the anchor of that team. Every game he pitches, every game the Yankees play is a big game against the opposition. But every game he pitches is even a bigger game because he's the bread and butter of that team. So if I were voting, I would have to go in favor of the player that, in my view, stood up to the competition and the biggest pressure. I'd go for CeCe Sabathia.
I don't think
he's going to win it. I don't think he's going to win it, but I'd vote for him.
Exactly. Yes.
We have to let Brett go, but just real quick before he goes, I want to have him talk about the team that he's that he's working for, DePaul University.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Great. Yeah, we
we're 3-0 right now. We're playing well. We actually play Millsap down in Mississippi this week. We're Division III. We're in the Southern Conference. So we were ranked like 35th in the nation last week. So we won the conference last year. So this is a good opportunity. We got a lot of seniors back, especially on the receiving corps when I'm coaching. So
terrific.
Looking to run the table here and see what we can do. But I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'll talk to you next week.
Good luck. Keep winning.
Win, right. Baby, sounds win. Good. Keep us posted, Brett.
I will.
Say hello to everybody, Brett.
All right, I will.
Definitely.
Take care, Brett.
Oh, my.
Tell the kids
take care, Brett.
All right.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. It's just good to have Brett Dietz on, or Football Insider, Don. You know, it's a, what Brett's going through, a quarterback of the storm. I look back at our last game. We should have won the AFL championship. Like, Brett got us to that promised land, like any other professional athlete. Once you get to the promised land, the play.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I thought Tom got cut off.
Oh, no.
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm right here. But, it's great to have Brett on every week with Football Insider. He's doing a great job of coaching receivers. I don't care what any level in football. When you're undefeated for your football team at a great start, he's doing always flex on the coaching staff.
No question about that. It all starts at the top.
Oh, it's fantastic. And now, before our discussion, you said you're going to get CeCe Sabathian as your Cy Young Award winner. I'm going to go with a different approach, Don. I'm going to go Rafael Soriano. He set the Rays club record for saves for 44, the top reliever in baseball. And he's why the Rays are what they are today, because he comes in those tough situations. He gets these guys out. Like last year, as we well know, Don and everybody, it was like bullpen by committee. Dan Wheeler came in there. Randy Choke would come in there. Lance Cormier would come in. Couldn't get anybody out. That's the difference between this year's team and last year's team for Tampa Bay, because Rafael Soriano, if I was voting, he'd have my vote for the Cy Young.
I agree with everything you said, except it's very tough to give a relief pitcher the Cy Young Award. Everything that you said, he's a difference in the team. He's a difference in the bullpen. He locks the games up. But when was the last time a relief pitcher won the Cy Young Award? It's been quite a while.
Yes, quite a while. That's right. That's right. The Eck one. I remember that. Yes, because I figure what I see them day in and day out, and what he's done for the team, setting breaking Roberto Hernandez's
right.
record of 43 saves is 44. What he's been doing, and he's, unfortunately he's going to be a free agent after this season. Well, boy, I just hope Andrew Friedman signs this guy. And the main thing right now is trying to hold Carl Crawford down. Now rumors say Carl Crawford wants to go out to Los Angeles, the Mets, the Yankees are after him, and a lot of teams are after CC, and I want to see CC stay in Tampa if anything possible can happen.
Well, CC's not. There's no chance of CC staying in Tampa. There's no way.
I think he's going to LA. That's where I think he's going to go.
Yeah.
He's going to be out there with our boy from Delaware County.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
It's Guidi Casper too.
Hey,
remember the OA championship, American League championship team with the Rays up there and that. So, but Don, the celebration was fantastic last night. Yours truly got dumped on by a beer shower by Ray Starter today, Jeff Neiman, and that. He says, "Hey, you want a beer shower?" I said, "Okay, fine." So I had a beer shower. Carlos Penny goes up me, gets a champagne shower. Then I was talking to Joe. He says, "Tommy, come here." Jeez. I walked out smelling like a brewery out there. I said, "Thank God I changed shirts out there." And I came home that night. My wife says, "Boy, do you stink." Well, celebration,
hey, Tommy,
Yes.
We have our hockey expert, Frank, on the phone with us. He wants to talk a little bit about the upcoming hockey season, especially
there's a
name. And Don, I'm not sure if you've heard about this yet. There's a goaltender that Jeff Reese has been working with very closely in the Philadelphia organization named Bob Vrovsky.
Right.
It looks like he may be the next big thing in the net.
Hmm.
Oh, about that?
Wow. Oh, he's working with a good friend of mine, Jeff Reese, my old golfing buddy.
Yes.
Donzo.
Yes.
Well, we talked about the Islanders last week, and the Islanders are playing inter-squad games right now. So trying to get ready for the season opener. And I'll tell you, we're not that far away, Tommy. It may seem warm down there, but hockey's right around the corner.
Exactly, because we play a only home exhibition game this coming Saturday night at St. Pete Tynes Forum for our listeners in Tampa, 813-301-6600. Then we open up the following Saturday night, October 9th, versus the Atlanta Thrashers. Great seats are available right now. We have a concert Friday night and a hockey game on Saturday night, kind of like a launch weekend for the Lightning, 813-301-6600. Tickets start for as little as $15 in that. But Don, I was down there today talking to the guys today, and I love this Guy Boucher's theory right now. He said he relies on speed. He relies on the F1, F2 forwards are forward fast number 2, 1, and 2 up there. I think his style is more like a John Tortorella, and Torch used that style, safe as death.
Well, I know you're anxious, as probably more anxious than anybody in the Tampa area to get it going. But, it looks like they've solidified the ownership. They've solidified the front office, the general manager, the coach. You just have to think that you're looking for great things this year. I can't wait to get down and get started.
Oh, you'll be all set that way. We're going to see Zeno Kolofta when he comes in on October 24th. We'll have to get him on the show next week prior to the NHL season for Zeno. We're going to take him to lunch after he does his workout. So he's excited about that and the warm weather and that. So, but Bob and Frank and Don, I looked at the hockey notes, and guess who's a plus one? Andre Mazaros. So
well, Frank,
that won't last at all, trust me.
Frankie's on the line with us. Frankie,
sure.
What's going on with the Flyers right now?
Well, they had some key injuries with Leighton, and now it's been discovered that LaPerrière. He had hit his concussion syndrome, which is bad. He's out for a while until he can pass the physicals. But really, I mean, this is what – it ended Primo's career, and it's ended several careers.
Lindros was the most famous of all of them. Lindros kept getting one after another.
Brett and Eric.
Right.
Yes.
Eric's career was much shorter than Brett. Brett's career was much shorter than Eric.
Right.
That's right, yes.
Well, with LaPerrière being out, this app actually opens up a winger spot, and Bill Guerin is looks like he may make this roster now for the Flyers without them having to cut either Daryl Poe or Dan Carcillo. So this kind of solves a little bit of a problem that Paul Holmgren has in the staffing department.
Right, but their cap space is so limited right now. They only have about $877,000 in cap space.
He's going to be able to fit in that, though.
Right, and he'll have to. He'll have to fit in that because the cap, you're still going to get a hit from LaPerrière.
Okay. But it sounds good. I know Jeff Reese is a good friend of mine, my golf buddy down here in the summertime, the Flyers goaltender coach, and whatever Richard does with those goaltenders in Philadelphia, he turns it into magic. I know he did the same thing with Hobby Boone and also with John Graham in 04 down here, Frank. So I think when Reese is a goaltender coach, great things are going to happen in Philadelphia this year.
Well, Philadelphia has two very good goalies, very good potential goalies. With Lightning out, you have Boucher, who I'm certainly not talking about him. I'm surprised the guy has a job in goal, not parking cars. But they have Johan Backlund and Sergei Bobrovsky, who Bobrovsky has been a talk of the camp and has played very, very well.
Absolutely.
But he's still likely going to need some seasoning in the AHL, and I believe that's where he will probably start the season. Whether or not he's going to be up, dressing in the bigs, Boucher at least has the starting nod. In October, we'll see where they go from that. But the problem is Philadelphia does not have a lot of cap room. Like I said before, they only have $877,000 in cap room, so they can't go out and get a free agent.
I was going to say, that doesn't leave you much room to operate, $800,000.
No.
That's nothing.
It doesn't. Any kind of goalie that's decent is certainly going to think twice. I mean, Boucher's less than $1 million. He's $925,000, but it still doesn't leave you much room. I mean, you would really have to it would have to be heavily incentive-laden contract, you know, if anybody was going to sign it, which is one way to go. But, you know, with the recent rulings, with the Bobulchuk rulings, I really think the NHL is going to really crack down on any kind of contract that mm-hmm. could be perceived as skirting the, you know, the cap, the salary
right.
cap.
Right.
Well, Frank, what happened with the thing with Chris Pronger, that the league was looking into the contract of Chris Pronger? What, has that come to a head, or are they still investigating that?
Well, you know, I really think the cooler heads prevailed. I think that people sat down and said, you know what, we can't let this Kovalchuk thing go as it is. But, if I mean, that's a can of worms that they would open that. I mean, you're talking about Luongo. You're talking about,
right.
Pronger. And there were several contracts that really people, it would have been one of those finger pointings where, well, he got it. Why couldn't I? Why, you know, and it'd be like a schoolyard again. So really, I think they thought about it, and I think they reprimanded teams verbally, maybe not in writing, but I think they said, look, this isn't going to stand any longer. These contracts we identified as being questionable to the cap, and, you know, really, you know, I understand certainly where they're coming from, and it's, you know, I think it's something you're not going to see again, certainly. And most contracts are going to be under heavy scrutiny from here on out, I believe.
I think you're right about that. The NHL is doing the smart thing. After, before the lockout, the cap space was unreal up there. But I think with the cap space right now, most of your clubs right now are making are jockeying for position right now for the last week of basically the exhibition season right now. It was at the Lightning camp today. They're going to jockey for positions up there. I mean, Coach Boucher was on the ice, and he knew the couple players that he was going to cut, but he didn't make the personal approach for these guys. These guys are maybe a stride or two away from becoming NHL players up there. So I give Coach Boucher, the Lightning, a lot of credit for talking his players that way.
Yeah, you know, another interesting note is Cristobal Huey was assigned by the Blackhawks to the Swiss National League A.
Right.
He still does.
Wow.
You know, he's still getting a $5.6 million annual salary, but it won't count against the cap.
Wow.
I think your earlier statement is true. I think they're starting to look much more closely ever since they had the Devil situation. I think they're looking at every team right now, and they're being very particular about what's going on.
Oh, you
absolutely
have to right now. You have to right now, Don, with everything going on for the National Hockey League, the big contract with Kovalchuk right now, and right now teams are jockeying for a position to try to get the right people under the salary cap right now. This is just unreal. I mean, who would have thought years ago the National Hockey League were jockeying for position for the player's salary? They would sign their salary beginning part of the training camp and play, and that's it till the end of the year till they got paid and maybe get a raise in their salary.
Let me interrupt for a second and tell you the Rays are down 2-0 to the Orioles right now.
Oh, no. Ouch.
Yes.
Ouch. Oh, it's going to be tough. But the Yankees are still losing in Toronto 3-0 here. So
yes, the Yankees are still losing 3-0, and the Rays are losing 2-0. Too much celebration.
Boy.
You got too much of that beer poured over you last night.
You know, it's tough getting up to work today, this morning here, and I still smell like alcohol coming in there. We sit, it's funny, right, they come in the office today, and they say, you were on TV last night. So, oh, boy, how'd it look? Drenched? I said, guys, it's my summer job. It's my summer job there, you know. But, you know, everybody's in good spirits down until we get down and watch some hockey games and some warm weather right there. So we can't wait for you to get down and watch some hockey games, and we'll take Zin out to lunch when he comes down to an October.
Well, we got one more show from the road here in New Jersey, and then we'll be down there for 6 weeks before we come back for Thanksgiving. But looking forward to it, looking forward not only to getting to the games, but also, you know, the playoff series are going to be terrific. I mean, I can't imagine.
Oh.
As we talked earlier, that the Rays aren't going to be right there. I mean, I can't, unless something really goes wrong, I think the Rays are going to be right there along with the Phillies.
Wow, that's it'd be another dream series for us, Don, Bob, and Frank, and everybody out there, because we're born and raised in Philadelphia. Tampa Bay's our baseball team here. For me, it'd be right down the middle, you know. So,
you know, I think we need to give the head off.
Take it easy now, Frank. Don't get.
I'm just trying to get the words out so I don't cut.
Holy smokes! Where were you before you came on here?
I had a football game that I'll tell you what I found out.
Hang on a second. This criticism is coming from a guy who picked Cleveland in the game against Baltimore.
Yes,
Pittsburgh.
Now, I didn't say it was going to be criticism, so you shouldn't jump on me like that.
No, it wasn't you. Wasn't you
this afternoon?
Wasn't you, Butch? No, wasn't you. Don made a made a pick of Cleveland in the Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
I just think that we need to give the Rays management a real heave-ho and thank you up front for what they're doing for fans. Mm-hmm. Whether they get them into the stadium or not, that's going to be another story. But to actually turn around and open up the gates and allow anybody to bring their kids in there for the next game is, I think, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that already have existing tickets, they're going to, at best, if they can, they're going to upgrade them to lower level seats.
Yeah,
so
I think that's a
terrific marketing idea, and I think it's a terrific way to say thank you to the people that have been coming and maybe get some spark into the people that haven't been coming.
Right, right.
That's a great thing. I talked to Dick Crippen last night, and I looked at a release that says, wow, this is the great thing. Went up to Dick and said, this is an awesome, awesome thing that the Rays are giving back to the community, not because what Longoria and Price said, but just to say thank you for being with us in these tough times. I like all the Rays personnel have been great that way. They're excited for the playoffs. This is a great thing they're doing. I think they should do it more often for a Monday night game, for buy one get one free, or the general. Here's what the general mission down at right field, left field line. They should charge that maybe $5 on nights. They did that, Don, in the 70s. They did that in the 1999-2000 season. Don, the right field line was only $5 to get in.
Right.
Well, if you remember when the Lightning first went there, they used to fill the place with a $500 seats all the way upstairs.
Yes, right, $99 a ticket.
Have a great time.
Exactly.
Now, of course, I do again want to say that I think that this movement may come from something they have learned from the people across the pond there at the Forum. The Arena Football has always offered tickets to kids around the area,
right,
for free, and it's a tremendous program. And they fill the place, and you know, they make money on the sundry
concessions,
items.
Right? Concessions, sure. By the city kid wants to buy a hat, you give them free tickets in there, right? Okay,
sure.
What do you want? Popcorn, peanuts, hat. Dad gets a beer, $8 beer. Dad
souvenirs.
Gets four or five beers.
Another roll of that.
Gets a hat.
Not only that, but you have people in the stands. That's great.
Yes, that's
the whole key. You have to have people. To make these games effective, you have to have people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by all means, for Pete's sake. I mean, we live for those days in the Phillies and moved to Cleveland. And my first innings game, I said to my dad, where's all the people? Because you're so used to Philadelphia, Don, and everybody. And those box seats, or you could get a box seat up there. Then I went to Cleveland, my first game at Cleveland Stadium. Don and everybody, I sat four rows behind home plate, and the seats in front of me were vacant, the seats behind me were vacant. I couldn't figure it out. Thought you turned me off for baseball again. I'm like, good Lord. I mean, in Philadelphia, we couldn't get a seat because the Phillies were hot in the 70s. The innings were had a dismal year in the 70s and 80s. And until they turned around in 95, I saw one of the scouts for Texas. Tom used to work for the Indians. He says, my God, when he quit you last night, does this bring back memories of 95? He says, you're damn right it does, you know. So, but, oh, my God, just driving home last night, thank God I changed the shirt. That's all I got to say. And I still have my credential around my neck just in case. They say, where were you at? Well, my hair smells like beer, and they clinched it. Here's my credential.
Hey, they have...
They have just released the number. How many tickets did they give away for this game?
20,000.
They have a crowd of 15,700 tonight.
No.
God. Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I am kidding you. I'm just kidding you. Seriously. Yeah.
My heart sunk down, almost down to the floor where Bugs is laying down.
I'm just kidding. But you know, all of us remember when the Phillies had already, when the Phillies clinched, you know, years ago back in the 70s, Mark was talking earlier, when the team clinches, the play goes down and the team, the fans dwindle down a little bit. But of course, this is a different story. They've clinched a playoff spot, but they haven't clinched a division yet. They're, still battling out with the Yankees right now.
On Major League Baseball today, they've been jumping around, but I haven't had a chance to actually see. They went to the score a few minutes ago of 2-0 Orioles, but I didn't actually get a chance to see what it looked like in the stands, so I can't make any even a guesstimate on that. But I certainly hope. But this is our last regular season home game, right?
Yes, yes. And that,
they go from here to Kansas City tomorrow.
Yes, in Kansas City for Ford. Zach Greinke gets a probable for tomorrow night. So Kansas City's throwing out the kitchen sink at the Rays because they could be the spoilers up there. The Yankees could sneak into with the division title, which I hope not because the Rays are the wild card. Their first home game is October 9th, the same day the Lightning home opener is. So yours truly is going to be over the form. So.
Well, the Yankees are down 4-0 now.
Good.
And you know what? Right now, Kevin Millwood is pitching a two-hitter.
You're kidding. Kevin Millwood?
Through seven. Yeah, he's pitching a two-hitter.
I'll tell you, the last three times out, last three or four games out, he's pitched extremely well. They expected him to be the anchor of the staff, and he was terrible all year.
Exactly.
Now he's pitching well.
Yeah.
Whether it's Buck Showalter or his pitching coach or what, I don't know. But he sure turned it around the last four or five outings.
I got a lot of respect for Showalter. I think he's done a marvelous job turning that team around.
Oh, boy, has he. Yeah. Major League Baseball just went to the Rays game. It's still 2-0. Looks like the Rays got a couple guys. They got the bases loaded. Rays got the bases loaded and two outs.
Okay.
Oh.
So, and B.J. Upton is at the plate. So,
Oh, boy.
we'll see what happens. But I still have not seen any large views of the stand, so I can't give you a guesstimate of how many people are there. They haven't showed too much. Doesn't look too crowded behind home plate. I'll say that.
Oh no, that's not a good sign. You guys see this right field line, left field line. Once those corners are filled, you have a crowd of probably over 23,000. But they're not filled. Oh boy. Make us look bad again or not make us look bad. And here the national guys and ESPN, everybody's going to say, the Rays, not Tampa Bay, is not a baseball community. Oh, boy, here we go over again. So, yes.
Oh, it just struck BJ after that with the bases loaded.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
That's too bad.
Game and a half-game lead going to Kansas City. So, oh, boy, look out. And the Royals are a hungry team, guys, so it's not one of
the
division.
The Yankees and the Rays are going to back down to the final game of the season. The Yankees, they've lost 14 out of 21 going into the last night's game, and the Rays are not doing too much better this week.
I know. But, Don, it could come down to a game that the catwalk game. Remember, Joe Madison,
we need
a new stadium?
You're exactly right.
It could come down to, because Joe said, hopefully it doesn't come down to this catwalk game. Because the ball is bouncing around up there, they know where it hit, and it came down, boom. I think they're playing Baltimore, Kansas City. Guys go to the tying run, eventually the winning run right there. And Joe could be right. Come down to this game as, oh, boy, I hope the Catwalks does not have a part in the who wins the American League East. So
you got to figure the Rays are in the driver's seat. I mean, Kansas City, and the Yankees are playing the Red Sox, and Francona is not going to throw the sponge in. He's going to play. He's going to play all his guys against the Yankees. You know, he's not going to help them at all.
No, it's the same thing for Kansas City too. They don't want to. They want to act as spoilers for four games here. But wouldn't it be ironic that both teams go into the playoffs losing, Rays win the East by half game by default. That'd be some kind of baseball. Boy, I tell you, poor Dwayne Stats would be pull some hair out, so would Andy Fried and Dave Wells would be saying, here we go again. Oh, my God.
Well,
oh, boy, I can't wait till you come back down here, sir. Where Frank and I said we're going to get together one of these days.
We'll do it.
I'll
let you guys close out the show, and we'll see what's going to happen for the rest of the night. And have good luck, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Okay, Don.
Always a pleasure, Don.
Take care, man.
You, Don.
Take care. Oh, my God. It's our pleasure, gentlemen, to have a sports legend, Don Henderson, come on the show, and also Bob and Frank out there. Gentlemen, wow, what can I say? What a... Oh, these 2 hours flying the radio here. Thank God Bugsy Capone, we're quiet.
There you go.
Thank God they're quiet. Let me sign off now. I'd like to thank, first off, Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. When you purchase a water heater, log into bradfordwhite.com. Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, give Richard Tom a call, 352-588-5454. In the Abbey Course, just on State Route 52, right across the St. Louis University. Great course, great Florida charm. Get Tom a call, 352-588-2016. Gentlemen, take it away.
All right, we want to thank all our friends worldwide listening in, especially the lovely Miss Kayla Marie, Mr. Trevor J., Mr. Ty Anthony, Mr. Brady Quinn, and I went to school yesterday, so I don't have to go no more. Mr. Dayton J. Carroll. From all the guys here on the radio show, we love you guys. Good night.
Good night now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.